Raglan Community Radio supports the Raglan Food Bank.
The food bank can be found at 36 Bow Street opposite the Community House and is open for business between 1 and 3 Mondays and Fridays.
Donations can be dropped off at these times or at Super Value.
Check out the food bank's current needs on our sign at the Super Value entrance or online at surfside.co.nz.
Or find out more about the Surfside Community Services, Food Bank and Counselling Services by phoning 825 5199.
The Raglan Food Bank, Raglan's only true community bank.
How do I play it cool when I slept in my car? And now I am the fool.
Kia ora, good evening, Whangaroa and Raglan. You're listening to Raglan Talking Raglan on Raglan Community Radio. Here at Angel Whangaroa at, what's the time? 6 minutes past six. So not as late as sometimes, but not as early as sometimes. But I was good hearing quite a few tracks from Chris Thompson. He used to have a show on the radio here just after me. So it used to be Thursdays, 10 o'clock, I think it was, which is a long time ago now. Anyway, it's pretty to see that Chris has died, but it's good to see all the tributes to him. And let's have a look at what's happening and what's been happening and what weather's doing and things like that. So the weather is going to carry on being warm and sunny until late tomorrow evening. And then we're going to get a fair bit of rain. So Boxing Day is going to be pretty wet from what the weather forecast is saying. There's a belt of rain which is coming in from west, and it's going to hit the south end of South Island sometime in the next few hours, and then it's gradually going to make its way up the country. Make its way up the country, meaning the country sort of slopes towards the northeast, and the weather front, as far as I can see, is pretty much a straight line coming in from the west, so it gradually makes its way up the country that way. And as I say, it should reach us sometime late tomorrow evening. The temperature is still around about 20 at the moment. It was around about 24 earlier, so dropping gradually. Not going to be as cold tonight as tomorrow night, going down to 13 tomorrow night, but then 24 during the day tomorrow. So we've also got fairly low pressure, which fits in, I suppose, with that front approaching. I'm surprised it's already so low, 1,001 hectopascals. The high tide's just gone. That was about a quarter of an hour ago. 2.6-metre low tide, then we've got 2.5 tomorrow, and then the tides start getting bigger again. On average, the days are now getting shorter, but we've still got this odd situation where the evenings are getting lighter and the mornings are getting darker. So the mornings are 3 minutes darker than they were a week ago. So 5 to 6 sunrise and 8:45 sunset this evening, which is 4 minutes later than it was last week when I talked to you. The things which are on this week, I always think it was quite a short list, and most of the usual things which are on the what's on list have gone off the what's on list. If you're interested in seeing what remains, have a look at our raglanradio.com page and the what's on tab. At the moment, we've got a couple of things which started at 6. So St. Peter's Church has got carols this evening from 6. That's almost 10 minutes ago. And almost 10 minutes ago, they were playing soccer over at Papahua. Don't know how many people are going along there for the twilight football, but I suppose some people will. Anyway, was supposed to start 6 o'clock. Don't know how many people made it there. The next thing I've got down is that also at St. Peter's Church, that's the one just next to the roundabout at the bottom of the, well, not bottom, partway down the hill on the main road. They've got a celebration service at 9 o'clock tomorrow. Then at 9:30, the church on Stuart Street's got a Christmas service. And at 10 o'clock, over at Duku, Surfside's got its Christmas Day service. And then there's a free lunch at 11 till 2. So that's tomorrow evening. Tomorrow lunchtime, rather. Lunchtime is at lunchtime. 11 till 2, the Wharf Kitchen and Bar, being provided by the Wharf Kitchen and Bar and by the Raglan Community Charitable Trust and by Raglan Eats. So that's on tomorrow lunchtime. Thursday, the Raglan Club has James Ray and line dancers. So since it's going to be wet Thursday, and since that starts with line dancing lessons at 5:30, it's maybe a good place to be with James Ray starting at 6 o'clock. Friday, Harbourview Hotel's got Tim Armstrong Band from 7:30, $10 for that one. Saturday, new music on Saturday as well in the form of Deckside Sessions at the Yard from 3 o'clock. And then in the evening, 8 o'clock, Sojourn's got their summer tour. Over at the Conscious Kitchen at Soulscape, they're doing pizzas from 6 o'clock together with a DJ Anirvan Diva. And from 7:30 on Saturday, the old school showing film, There's Still Tomorrow, which is about Rome in the late 1940s on the road to female empowerment. They've shown that film before. And they've also shown the film You Should Have Been Here Yesterday, which is on 7:30 on Sunday, an Australian surf documentary. And there's also Harbourview Hotel got music on Sunday. That's from 4 o'clock. Also $10 for that one. And that's sessioning on Sunday from 4 o'clock at Harbourview. And I haven't got anything down for Monday, but Tuesday the Yard's got, Tuesday is New Year's Eve, so the Yard, Harbourview Hotel and Soulscape have got New Year's Eve events. And of course there's, well, not of course, because there was some doubt over it, but there is apparently a New Year's Eve parade happening. First I noticed of it was a note on bus timetable saying the buses are being diverted because of the New Year's Eve parade. But there's also a note that they put on Raglan 23 saying the countdown has started to the New Year's Eve parade. Raglan's Lion Club want your floats. It's now only a week to the parade. No, it's less than that. No, it's not. It's just a week. Well, slightly less than a week. So now it's time to get your creative juices flowing. The parade is on again after being cancelled in 2023 due to bad weather. It works well because of huge support from families and groups in our community. There's always a huge crowd in Bow Street to watch it, and the parade is run and sponsored by the Lions Club. And Bow Street is closed to traffic from 5:30 till 8, which I'm not sure that affects the bus, because the bus is only running weekend services at the moment. I would have thought it would be the last bus is about 4 something. Not what time it is on at weekends, 4:50, is it? No, probably earlier than that. And anyway, 5:30 till 8 is the road closure. And if you are planning to have one of those floats that they want you to get along there, then assemble in Wallace Street at 6:30 for judging, followed by prize giving at 5 to 7, and the parade starts at 7, so in a week's time, 7 o'clock, New Year's Eve parade. If you want to know more about it, pop into the bookshop and ask Paul. He's one of the people in the Lions Committee organising it. As I say, usually has more advanced notice than this, so don't know how many people are going to be doing parades for it. I think the radio is going to be doing one, so if you fancy helping with that, get in touch with the radio. I'm not sure what other organisations are thinking of it. I know there was some thinking of it and then weren't sure whether it was happening, and it sort of all became rather vague as to what they were doing. So anyway, we have got a New Year's Eve parade, and hopefully it will be well supported. That's the end of the week as far as I'm concerned. That brings us up to next Tuesday. And so let's have a look at what has been happening in the last week or so. In the last week, well, 6 days ago, we had an announcement which had been rumoured, but now it's been confirmed that the District Council is appointing a new chief executive. Pleased to announce Craig Hobbs, who has decades of experience working in local government, including as in a chief executive of Paralympics New Zealand, of the National Maritime Museum of South Waikato District Council, and most recently as regulatory services director at Auckland Council. He'll take over from the long-standing, probably about 20 years, maybe more than 20 years, that Gavin Ayan has been chief executive, and the takeover is on the 3rd of February, when council starts to get to work again for the new year. The Mayor, Jackie Church, says there was significant interest from highly qualified executives with national and international experience, and Mr. Hobbs was selected due to his local government experience, focus on innovation, operational effectiveness, commitment to positive community outcomes, and dedication to uphold Te Tiriti o Waitangi. We were impressed with the high calibre of candidates and went through several rounds of interviews. Craig was a clear standout and had the unanimous agreement of the Appointments Committee, which was endorsed by Council in appointing him. And the Mayor says the District Council's undergoing significant growth, and Craig brings a wealth of experience and a fresh perspective for our operations as we continue to evolve. Council is committed to providing the services, planning, infrastructure and roading that our communities need in a challenging economic environment. And she highlighted his strategic vision, leadership, and said that was the perfect fit. I'm confident Craig will provide excellent continuity for our staff and will build on the strong legacy of Gavin Ayan. She acknowledged that Gavin had been a pillar of strength, providing exceptional leadership and service to the community over the last 20 years. As we provide for this transition, we are committed to ensuring a seamless, smooth handover. Mr. Hobbs says he feels honoured to have been selected. I look forward to supporting a very progressive council and leading the organisation to deliver positive outcomes for residents and ratepayers. He adds that partnerships with key government, private sector, iwi, hapu, marae and Māori communities will be a focus, as will seeking more efficient and effective ways of delivering services. My family has a special affinity with Waikato. It would be great to come back and play a part in leaving an enduring legacy, he says. So that's probably the most interesting story of the week, as I say, it has been rumoured for quite a while, which I suppose it's hard to stop rumours when you've got lots of people applying for a job which has obviously been advertised somewhere that I didn't spot the advert. Another story is that Raglan Watertown mural is complete, blessed on the morning of last Friday by Comartua Sean Ellison. A large crowd turned out for the blessing, which was followed by speeches from local dignitaries, and including the mural artist Theo Araj and the Waikato District Mayor Jackie Church. So she seems to be getting into all the news stories. We've also got the council's closed, at least over the holiday period, reopens on the 5th of January. In fact, it doesn't close till the 29th. So their essential services will still be available during the closure from December the 29th to January the 5th. And they've got the usual 0800 492 452 number for urgent inquiries, including noise control, urgent dog or animal calls and burials, etc. But for non-urgent issues, log a request via the council's online report it tool or their Anteno app. And offices will be closed from 5 o'clock on Friday the 20th of December. I thought it was that. I'm not sure why the heading is 29th, to Monday the 6th of January. So, offices reopen on Monday the 6th, so the Monday after New Year's Day. And the recycling and rubbish collections, they are going to be as normal, except that the collection which should happen tomorrow has happened today, and that the collection on New Year's Day will also happen on New Year's Eve. So that's the only one that's still relevant. So if you put your rubbish out today, you were okay. If you put it out tomorrow, then you probably need to keep it till next Tuesday. And what else have we got? There's also a story about Paddle Out Farewell to Raglan surfer Philip Mitchell, also known as Yoda. This is a Waikato Times story. He died on the 11th of December, and the surfing community farewelled him with a paddle out after the funeral at the golf course on Wednesday afternoon, when the road was packed with cars. Dozens of surfers and a walker carried the family and headed out onto the water for the paddle out. He was 53, also a regular at the Fight Fit gym, where instructor Paige Valance described his contagious smile and zest for life. He was in the morning he died before heading to Whale Bay. His death is understood to be due to a medical incident, and his son Maxwell Pedersen has previously said his dad was so commonly called Yoda that few people knew his real name. He was father to three sons and three stepdaughters. So that's the news which I've spotted. Let's have the bottom of our items, and then we'll listen to an interview that Councillor Lisa did just before council shut down on Friday. So if I press the right button, hopefully we can hear the bottom of the hour items at 24 minutes past six.
No respect to the Red Robin Reggae Rodeo.
Yeah, you're in the Red Robin's Reggae Rodeo.
This is the Reggae Rodeo every Friday from 6 to 8 with your host Red Robin here out of Raglan. It's a fantastic Friday night.
Red Robin Reggae Rodeo.
Raglan Radio 98.1. The best in the West.
You find it the best in the West. This was Lisa talking to Aaron on Friday.
There's just been announced that there is a new CEO for Waikato District Council. So this is the guy, he's a man, who is
Craig Hobbs. He's actually
the chief of the staff, not the chief of the councillors. He's not your boss.
Yeah, he's a CEO is the chief executive officer. So as council, and this might be quite confusing for a lot of people, but the councillors are in the governance role. So we steer the direction of council, rate strikes, decisions on infrastructure, all of those things. And then it's up to the CE then to oversee the operational part of council, which is massive, as you know.
And you don't tell them how to do that? You don't tell them how to structure the management structure?
Can influence that through the key performance indicators, you know, what we ask our chief executive to actually achieve. And so that chief executive has to meet those KPIs that we set as governance, but the CEO is the only employee of that the councillors have.
Oh.
And then it's up to the CE to determine what the operations look like. So
you employ him and he employs everybody else.
That's exactly right.
Okay, all right. Even like the mayor's assistant?
Yep.
He's on staff.
I mean, okay. The chief executive doesn't interview all 400 and plus staff because we have, HR that does that and enacts that. But the CE, just like any company, or even if you will liken it to the Board of Trustees, has the principal who enacts the operations.
Yeah, I know you're familiar with that, having been on the school board. So in terms of the KPIs, and is there a mandate? Has he been given a mandate to make any changes with the council? I mean, he's going to be a new personality, and he will probably change things anyway. But what as councillors, like, what is the council expecting of him?
A lot, actually, you know, because it is different. And I just want to acknowledge Gavin Iron, who's been our chief executive. For 20 plus years, and so it's been a significant amount of time. And in that time, council has changed quite significantly, as even in the last three terms that I've been in, Māori wards, the rates have gone up, the waters, three waters, review and transformation, all of those sorts of things. So a lot has happened in those two decades. So I just really want to acknowledge the work of Gavin. And so, you know, the expectations of councillors is they want someone who can help with transform the business and how we do things, how we work with our communities, how we have outcomes. So then the communities can see the rationale between our decision making and then what happens out in our community, so they have an understanding of that, working really closely with our staff, seeing where change needs to happen and where staff need to be supported. So it's a really big job, and we will be working out the details of what he needs to achieve as part of that work program. So we've only just appointed him, so we don't necessarily have all of those KPIs in place.
Oh, okay, right.
and so that's a piece of work that we will be working on with him. And, you know, and he'll be instrumental in guiding council through growth and development, because you know that being in the Waikato district, we have huge pressures with growth and infrastructure. So that will be a really big task for him to undertake, and he'll be working with we're lucky enough that Gavin will be overseeing our waters work, so he'll be stepping right away from any part of being on the executive, but he'll still be there as we change our waters, you know, with the relationship with Hamilton City Council.
Okay, because you're right in the middle of that
expertise, so he will be there with oversight on that. So it's an exciting time, but of course Craig doesn't start until February.
What's his name? Craig?
Craig Hobbs.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know the councillors and mayor are always the ones in the limelight, but the chief executives of most councils does kind of get well known.
Well, the chief executives really are there to enact the direction of council, and you know, they have to be a certain type of person because they have to be really maintain an unbiased vision. So they don't come in as for any political party or perspective. They actually have to be, what's the word I'm looking for?
Well, unbiased is what you say, like
unbiased, what's the other word?
Non-partisan.
Yeah, and so they...
So if at the next election there was a huge clean out of councillors and completely changed and
Chief executive has to work with all of those councillors and a mayor.
But then a change of direction, a complete change of direction, he would just have to go, yep, I was doing that.
We can advise,
and now I have to do this. Yeah, and I don't have a choice.
And well, and that's exactly right. And he, you know, he or she has to advise and give as much information to governance to make informed decisions. So that's their role as well, and they're the interface between the governance and the operations. So it's a massive job.
So we say now, here's an interesting thing, because I get that he'll be professional and be as unbiased as possible, but also we're dealing with humans, and he has to be, at the very least, he has to be able to relate well with the councillors and the mayor, and some of that is just like the ability to get along with those people.
Without a shadow of a doubt.
And you have to have a little bit of alignment, otherwise it's just, it's not going to work.
You have to be a certain type of person to be able to work in that environment like
that. So who
was,
I know you were on the panel that was doing the interviews. Who else was on there?
Myself, Eugene Patterson, Janet Gibb, Jackie Church, our mayor, and Carolyn Eyre, the deputy mayor, because we, all five of us, are the incumbents. So we felt that that would be best to sit with the appointment of the chief executive. But councillors inputted into what they felt was important skills to have in a chief executive. So we worked with a well-known recruitment agency, Sheffield, who are very experienced in local government recruitment and chief executive recruitment. So they were great. So we worked with them very closely to help with this process. And they also ran the whole recruitment process in terms of putting out the advertising for the role, the criteria, and then they did the recruitment, so to speak. And, you know, we had over 50 applicants for the role, which is quite massive. I think there were 57 applications for the role. And out of those, then it's shortlisted to a number of who they felt met the criteria. Then we, as a subcommittee of council for the recruitment, then went through those with a fine-tooth comb.
Can I ask, or can you say, if there were any internal applications from existing staff?
I can't say that.
You can't say that?
Yeah, okay. I can't say that.
I just thought I'd try.
Yeah, that's unprofessional to actually, you know, divulge that. But there were very high-calibre applicants, particularly when we shortlisted to the last five with whom we interviewed, and they were all fantastic and had skills and experience from across across the board. So yeah. And
can you be specific about some of the qualities or the things that the councillors were looking for?
Preferably that they had an understanding of local government, that they had transformed organisations and have done that well, that they had business acumen and they came with a solid operational background, and also a commercial background was very helpful as well. And then looking at things, how well they led, what was their leadership style, how they worked with others.
What did he say his leadership style was?
Inclusive. Transformational.
So the word transformational is coming up. So I presume,
well,
the council is expecting some change.
Some change. That's right. And being able to take others with you across an organisation. He also brought a high level of depth in the regulatory space with what he's done with Auckland Council.
So he's working in a position at Auckland City.
That's right. That's right. And in a big and a big team in there. So he comes with a real depth of experience, and then he has a very varied background working in Auckland Council, and he was the CEO of South Waikato Council as well, which is a smaller council, but he's also worked Maritime Museum, and then he has also worked in the disability space as well. So he comes across with a very broad cross-section of skills, but he can demonstrate those skills very clearly. And we're all really excited, actually, for the new year to come along and to be working with him and supporting him in that role.
So when does he start?
In February, okay. The beginning of February. I think it's the 6th of February, the 2nd or the 6th of February.
Okay.
Oh, I better check.
Well, that's
but
right.
It is the beginning of February.
We've got Christmas shopping to do in the next week or so. We're not too worried about when the CEO actually starts.
Yeah, so in February.
yeah. No, that's cool. That's, yeah. Okay. I'm trying to think if there's anything else I was going to ask about that, but I think that is probably it.
And he's very hands-on. I think people were really warm to him. Scott, he's really... he's a really warm person.
Do you have to be, as a council CEO these days, do you have to be like a little bit presidential? I know you're not the politician, but at the same token, you've fronted.
Well, it depends on the style of the CE, because you have to work really closely with your mayor and the elected members.
You don't want to overshadow the mayor.
No, and you know, and it's a role. You know, he's going to want to go out into our communities, and he's already said that, to meet with the community boards, with the community committees. He wants to come out to each community and understand the way, you know, each community as best that he can, because each of our communities are quite different. He has spent quite a lot of time in the Waikato, because him and his wife in a previous life were based in Hamilton, and so he also comes from a radio background, which you'll be finding very interesting as well. So you should interview him when he's found his feet, actually, Aaron. So he comes from,
I'm always scared to interview people who've been professionally involved in radio, because I don't consider myself very professional. I've had no training. I just came in and started operating things one day, and here I am.
Yeah, so he's actually the executive leadership team and director of regulatory services at Auckland Council.
Regulatory—that's no one knows what those phrases mean. That's the rules. He's in charge of the rules.
But you know, being in that area, that's actually, you understand council and what council does, and being in Auckland, you know, working with such a huge super city and with many boards and other committees, you have to have a certain set of skills to be able to manage that.
He probably had more people in his team in Auckland City than he'll have in the entire council in terms of staff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, all right, let's move on to, you mentioned Gavin Ion, the current CEO. A chief executive is going to continue in the role of shepherding all these changes happening with the Three Waters.
That's exactly right. And he'll step right out of the executive role, and but he'll be there as a support to the new chief executive as well, which I think is really great.
But that, where I was going with that is that that's such an intense thing happening so fast at the moment. It makes a lot of sense to keep him on board for that. So where is that at? We've had some announcements from Hamilton.
We've had some announcements, so we've made the decision to have a waters entity with Hamilton City Council at this point in time. So we made that decision last Friday.
So that's to set up a kind of a separate organisation that's owned by the councils but runs itself.
Yeah, that's exactly, pretty much, if you were to liken it to what we've got already with Water Care.
Yeah.
So Water Governance Board, so to speak. So, you know, so we can oversee our Three Waters provisions for both Hamilton and the Waikato District. And you've got to remember that Hamilton, we have a lot of relationships already with Hamilton, because we sort of surround a lot of the city as well. So those shared services, the opportunities to look at, you know, wastewater treatment plants, you know, with Ngairua Wahia, for example, hooking in maybe to Hamilton. So there's, you know, we've got Matangi, we've got Tamihere on the borders, we've got Te Kōwhai. So there's all of those relationships that we already have with Hamilton City. And, you know, we talked about this last Friday, is that we think it's inevitable that there will be a regional Water Z entity in the not too distant future, but we need to make a decision that fits best with us at this point in time.
Is it the case that the other councils like Matamata Piako and
well, they're still working out what they need to do, and because they're further
behind in the process, you would say.
Okay, and there will be opportunities for other councils in the future to come on board. So I think that, yeah, like I said, it's going to be inevitable that we'll have – well, it's probably inevitable that we will have a regional waters entity. We just need to get to that point.
I saw somewhere that saying there was about nine councils in the region.
Yeah.
So okay.
So it's not small, and you imagine when you're working with a lot of different councils, there's a lot to work through.
So most people who've come up close to the whole water care thing thought that it's been an effective arrangement.
Even
John Lawson. But what I'm wondering is, suddenly in this country, we're going to need a whole bunch of water cares all at once. One of the things about water care was it had this real experts, like people who really knew what they're doing.
Well, it's a centre of excellence, when you're thinking about it
But where are we going to find a whole bunch of more experts?
I'm sure we'll find them, and I'm sure we'll be able to establish that entity. And
You want to be the first one, don't you? So you can get the best start.
Well, I think we were the first one when we think about our relationship with water care outside of Auckland.
But now Hamilton and Waikato councils are creating a new one, and they're going to have to get a new chief executive of that organisation and get their staff together. And that's, I know you're a fair way off that.
We're a fair way off that, and I can't comment on what that might look like. You know,
no. So you've decided to
We've decided on this, and it will actually come out for consultation to communities in the early new year.
And will there be? So that's not the options. It's not the long term plan.
No.
Okay, it's a separate thing.
This will be separate, and so there will be a lot going on. So we'll keep you. You know, we'll be updating the community on that, because actually we want our communities to understand as much as we do around our three waters provision and the direction we're going. So there's an understanding of that. And I know there's a lot to process, particularly when we're going through our long-term plan as well, which will be coming out in March. So there's a lot of work to be done, and, you know, do our communities actually really care about that detail? I'm not sure, but we will be sharing the cost of it.
I have questions, actually, and I was reading the Hamilton City thing, and I didn't get all the way through the Waikato District document, but in the Hamilton City thing there was a section on well-being. It had to refer to well-being, and it talked about how that water quality is a health issue and things like that. There was no discussion in there about well-being in terms of loading people up with extra rate costs.
That well-being comes through affordability, and that's why we're consciously making these decisions, because if we went alone, we wouldn't have the economies of scale, and the rates will go up. And the rates will go up regardless of what we do, because there's a cost to this work. The three waters is hugely expensive, and we know that, and that's why we had the three waters reform.
For listeners' understanding, for 40 years, councils have not really there's been this obsession with keeping rates down, and lots of people got on council saying, I'm going to keep the rates down, and we haven't spent, this is my version of it, and we haven't spent the money updating and maintaining our three water system. Now we have to do it all at once.
Well, we're not doing it all at once. It will be over time.
But now we have to do it.
Yeah, now we have to do it. And because that's our role in local government, is to provide these services. And those services come at a cost. And services never stay the same price. It always goes up. We've got huge infrastructure, and that needs to be serviced. Whether it's underground infrastructure or infrastructure we can see, like our water reservoirs. So there's not only what we need to plan for the future, but there's the ongoing maintenance of all of that infrastructure as well.
I hear a lot of talk about efficiencies, and I can see that happening at the administration level, and probably is better at getting a good interest rate for loans. with the combined councils. But you can't bring efficiencies to light. We're building our wastewater plant here, a new one in Raglan, and you can't make that more efficient by joining with another council, because you just have to build a building with technical stuff in it.
But going into the relationship with another council, it also increases our ability to get loans, so then to actually be able to get more in terms of that loaning. So our debt capacity goes up.
So that allows
for that. So then we can actually spread those costs out over time rather than burdening it all at once for our ratepayers. And so I'm not going to lie, our rates will go up. And that's the inevitability about this.
Well, we know
and
that.
And then how much they go up, we know we have to manage those costs of affordability, and it's really hard.
So will we know those costs in the new year when it comes out to consultation, or will we have to wait till the long-term plan later in the year?
I'll need to get back to you. I don't want to say yes, we'll have all the costs in that.
Yeah.
But that will... What this decision that we've made will have an impact on our long-term plan and the costs associated with that. So,
because no one's really talking too much. No one wants to talk about the costs, I know, but we've just come out of a conversation of how the long-term plan was going to be expensive anyway.
And that's why we went into our enhanced annual plan, because there was the uncertainty of the implications and the cost implications to the ratepayers on a decision that we'll make about our next steps with our three waters provision.
Yeah, so that the enhanced annual plan, folks, that's just a one-year plan.
That was just a one-year plan for 2024-25 to get us through to this stage where now we've made that decision to go into a relationship with Hamilton City Council. Now, that this next piece of work will be the piece of work that then determines those costs for our LTP with our long-term plan, which will be coming out in March. So we'll have a much better idea of those costs and how we consult on that with our communities.
All right, let's talk about some other things. Erosion, this one I'll talk about erosion at Papahua, so on this side, not the...
By the boat ramp, between the bridge and the boat ramp. As you know, that we've been talking about this, so we had a Raglan Holiday Park Papahua Governance Board meeting last week, and we have asked that we get our engineers who have been working on the stormwater upgrade at the holiday park, and also they're the same engineers and staff who have been working on the Pūtoitoi walkway upgrade that's between the jetty and the old Coast Guard building, footpath there. So we've asked them to do, at the bare minimum, a desktop exercise on looking at options for erosion in that area to include whatever it may need on the bridge. So then we can make some decisions around our next steps around that. Because, you know, I've said this before, as the governance board for the camp, we're really concerned about the erosion in that area for a number of reasons. We've got hapu representatives that sit on the board, and the erosion is getting closer and closer to the Urupa, the cemetery that sits by the boat ramp. And of course, for the longevity of the camp and the planning for climate mitigation and coastal erosion, because the camp is such an asset, and so too is the playground, that entire area. So how we might be able to undertake some work that helps to slow that down.
I'm expecting that work would be, having talked with Shaw Mead and people like that, to put a groin in under the bridge. Yeah. I know there's people talking about walls, but walls, the experts say they don't do what you want.
There might be something that we can put along the grass edging, all of that. But yeah, we've actually asked for staff to do that piece of work. So we've got a clear idea of what that might require, and then be able to put some cost to that.
Yeah, okay. All right. I'm glad to hear this.
Yeah,
this
because we've been talking about this for so long, haven't
I know,
we, Aaron?
I know.
And
yeah.
So many things happen. And then, of course, we've made a decision in council about retreat as opposed to putting in hard and fast mechanisms. But it's a little bit softer there. It's not as...
Well, this isn't a climate change issue. This is because we removed the old bridge and it's changed things.
So we need to do so. So yeah, so that we've got a piece of work under that will be underway in the new year.
Yeah. The next thing I was you mentioned Pūtoitoi Walkway. So we've just want to remind people that I think it got called the Wenera Walkway because the staff needed to write a name on something.
Yeah,
for press
and it
release.
Was by Wenera Street and things like that. And
because I'd never heard that before that project started.
Yeah, exactly. So, so it was determined by Hapū that the name would be Pūtoitoi, which was more appropriate because that area, its original name is Pūtoitoi. And if you look at some of the maps, and not so older maps, that the area where the jetty is called Pūtoitoi Point. So it seems quite appropriate to have the Pūtoitoi Walkway. So restoring some of those old names back onto the landscape in their right places is pretty awesome, actually.
Yeah, so some people are still struggling to remember Papahua. Not
yeah, they call it the Raglan Domain or, you know.
Well, that's the easy way out in case you're worried. But Pūtoitoi Walkway. Okay. Now, I'm going to talk to Jacqueline in a few minutes about the water tower opening.
I'll leave that to her because that is exciting. And she's done so much work in that and it's looking beautiful. Are you coming?
Probably.
You'll be on your way home then.
I know.
You'll have to call in for a sausage and a bacon.
I bike or walk past like every day.
Yeah.
Twice a day. And I often have chats with Theo and get some photos,
you've been updating,
Facebook.
Which has been fantastic. Thanks for those awesome comms.
So there'll be one more photo today and it'll be finished, I think.
So it's an awesome project. So really looking forward to that tomorrow and I'll be on the barbecue.
Okay, cool. Is there anything to say about CCTV?
It's still in the same as we last time.
Which is Hamilton City's pulled out helping us, so we've got to figure something new out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Looking at the New Year, Christmas, New Year.
Yeah.
We've got lots of things to look forward to. Beautiful weather, obviously. Lots of visitors. And so just a reminder for people to be nice to our manuhiri as they're heading into Raglan. And I did notice that it has been quite busy in town, which has been awesome.
Yeah.
And,
Are we ready? Are we ready for the influx?
Are we ever ready? Of course we are. We're ready as we can be. Yeah. You know, and if it's fine weather, we will have lots of visitors. And I've noticed that there are lots more international visitors back on our shores. I've been noticing that a bit more. So I have a feeling it's going to be another busy summer in Whaingaroa.
Was the community board happy with the extremes attempts to adapt to the massive amounts of rubbish that arrive at Papahua over the busy period?
Well, you know, extreme are the ambulance at the bottom of the cliff. It's not their fault that there's lots of rubbish and that there are overflowing rubbish bins, you know. We as people have to take responsibility for the crap that we actually, bring or buy. So we have to be really mindful of that. And my challenge to people are leave only footprints when you come to the beach. Take your rubbish with you or take it up to the recycling centre. If the bin is overflowing, don't put your rubbish in it.
Yeah, and the background to that is last summer Extreme found that they couldn't empty the bins fast enough. They do a loop in an hour and get back to the first bin and it was overflowing again.
I know, and then they get the blame for not emptying the bins or the overflowing bins. They are, like I said, the ambulance at the bottom of the cliff. Doing that service, under real pressure. So community, cut them some slack and take your rubbish up to the recovery centre.
And they are going to employ or deploy, I reckon, an ambassador, a recycling ambassador, to go and talk to people at Papahua.
Awesome. It's no mean feat.
That's a.
And you know, with the recycling bins,
you've got to be the right kind of person for that job.
You do. And what we've found with the waste audit is that even the recycling bins are full of rubbish. You know, so people don't put proper their recycling into the recycle bins often.
Yeah.
It's full of rubbish. Mm. So people have to take responsibility for their actions, whether it's what they put in the bin or whether it's what they buy or don't buy. So remember your reusables, use your drink bottles, use your reusable coffee cups. Don't ask for takeaway coffees in the takeaway coffee cups with plastic lids. It's not rocket science, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, we know what to do. I want to ask about the people have seen the maps for a change to the alcohol ban area. Just want to say that's probably not going to apply this summer, is it?
No, because we haven't. That's only just closed at the beginning of this month.
Public submissions have closed.
Yeah, public submissions have closed on that, and then that will come to council. So,
Have you seen a report on it yet? No info on that just yet.
So staff will be working on that. Yeah.
Okay. New year.
Yeah, and so looking forward to the New Year's Parade, which is on, which is awesome, the Lions New Year's Parade. So hopefully people are thinking about their floats they're going to be having.
Do we know about our new fireworks? Is anyone doing any fireworks?
I saw Sarah Hari was looking for contributions from the community for the fireworks, so I'm not quite sure where she is at
on
that.
All right.
I think there are going to be fireworks, but there's definitely going to be the world famous Raglan Lions New Year's Eve parade. So is the radio station putting one in?
We're trying to get our act together because we like to bring some noise.
You like to bring some noise, and you guys, I know, are quite competitive with the design of your float.
Oh, that was the first year when Paul did this amazing thing, but it's going to be a little more basic. We're just going to rely on the noise to attract attention.
Yeah, so you're going to be spinning those tunes.
Like a DJ. There might be people who look like that DJ, but it's a little more automated, than, I have to admit. Because it's everything's too bouncy.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, okay, Lisa, so thanks for coming in pretty much fortnightly all the way through the year. Appreciate that.
Oh, thanks for always being accommodating too, because there are times when I haven't been able to come in. I've had to change interviews last minute. So, yeah, and keep up the excellent work, Aaron. The One Source of Truth, Raglan Community Radio.
I don't want that. That feels like a burden. All right, Lisa, thank you.
My friends, we've had our hopes and fears. Oh, my friends, it's clear. it's Christmas. Yes, it's Christmas. Thank God it's Christmas. For one day.
Might have gathered that was Thank God It's Christmas, which is done by Queen. You're listening to Raglan Talking Raglan on Raglan Community Radio, Rangyo Fang Roar. It's 1:30 past seven, so time for top of the hour. Here goes.
Raglan Landscape Supplies is moving to Nomai Business Park on State Highway 23 this January. Yes, you asked for them to move closer to Raglan and they've listened. Now here's Tracy to remind you of their services.
We have all the landscaping products you need. From stones to sleepers, sand to bark, drainage meadows to builder's mix, pavers to compost. We even have a plant nursery. We deliver to your door. We have free customer loan trailers. We also hire out a post-hole borer, concrete mixer, compactor and water blaster.
So you can still find them at 140 Tomato Road for now, but keep your eye out for the new signage on State Highway 23 this January, or check them out anytime at www.raglanlandscapesupplies.co.nz or on 825 0577.
If you have ever thought about volunteering, now is a great time to contact Volunteering Waikato. Their website makes it easier than ever before to find the right opportunity in your town. Get involved in your community. Boost your CV, meet new people and learn new skills. For more information, go to volunteeringwaikato.org.nz. Volunteering Waikato, enriching lives.
The soul of Whang Naroa, good sounds, good karma.
And it's now 3 minutes past seven, and you're still listening to Raglan Talking Raglan until 7:30-ish. Let's have some more Christmas music in the form of Diana Ross with Winter Wonderland.
Over the ground.
I was going to play the interview that Aaron mentioned about Jacqueline talking about the water tower afterwards, but anyway, let's carry on with Diana Ross.
Lies a mantle of white, a heaven of diamonds shine down through the night. Two hearts are thrilling in spite of the chill in the weather. Ooh, the weather. Love knows no season, love knows no clime. Romance can blossom any old time. Here in the open, we're walking and hoping together, 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 together. Sleigh bells ring, are you listening? In the lane, snow is glistening. A beautiful sight. Happy tonight, walking in the winter wonderland. Gone away is the bluebird. Here to stay is a new bird. He sings a love song as we go along, walking in the winter.
pretend that he is Parson Brown. He'll say, I am married, we'll say no man, but you can do the job while you're in town. Later on, we'll conspire as we dream by the fire to face unafraid the plans that we've made, walking in a winter wonderland. Pretend that he's a circus clown. We'll have lots of fun with Mr. Snowman until the other kiddies knock him down. When it snows, ain't it thrilling? Though your nose gets so chilling, we'll frolic and play the Eskimo way, walking in a winter wonderland.
Diana Ross, Winter Wonderland. Excuse to play some old favourites when it's coming up to this time of year. And of course, tomorrow it's Christmas. Let's now listen to Jacqueline talking to Aaron about the Watchtower. She talked to him just before the blessing on Friday, so that's already happened. But I think there's some interesting stuff in here anyway, so thought it was a good idea to play it, even though it's not totally up to date. It takes back to last Friday. Here goes.
Hey, got the morning show here on Raglan Community Radio. That's Tobias with Alone. And in the studio, I've got Jacqueline Anderson. Good morning.
Morena, Aaron.
We mentioned with Lisa just before about the mural that's happening up at the water tower. You've been the project manager for it. You've probably not been allowed to touch the paint, but
no, we're leaving that to the experts.
Leaving that to the expert, but there's a kind of an opening for it happening tomorrow, is it?
Yes, yep, there is. So, over the last 7 weeks, you would have seen, the mural that's sort of been going underway with artist Theo.
How do you say his last name? Do you know?
Araj.
Araj. Okay, thank you.
Theo, who was the selected artist, chosen to take on that massive job because the water tower, it's a 240 square metre, 44 circumference and 6.3 metres high, so canvas.
44 metres around.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. So it's massive.
So when he showed you his plans, did he have laid out as a 2D long strip, basically?
Yeah, he did, yeah.
So 44 by 6.
Yeah, well, it was a sketch drawing of around, and then there was imprints. Well, I'm not quite sure how you do it. There was photoshopped onto the water tower,
Okay.
So you got an idea of what it would look like too,
yeah,
as well.
Yeah. So are you happy with what you've seen?
Oh, it's incredible.
Mm,
it really
looks
is.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, personally, yes, I do. looks amazing.
Were you part of the selection panel?
No.
Oh, you're just doing the management of it.
Yep, just the facilitation of it. Process.
Yeah, how was it he selected then?
So there was a call for artists that went out. First off, there was a massive amount of funding needed to be secured. So this was sort of spearheaded by the Whangarei Raglan Destination Management Organisation. It gets shortened to the DMO. It's a bit of a mouthful. They've sort of been the project sponsors for it and applied for funding. There was lots of funding applications that needed to happen about this time last year it started.
Yeah.
And funding was received through Raglan Naturally via their community trust fund, which is via the Department of Internal Affairs.
Right, which we call the DIA.
DIA.
If you want your acronyms.
Yes, a few more acronyms there. And there was also some seed funding from the WDC, the Waikato District Council, as well, just to get the project kick-started off. And so with that funding then, it was sort of like the project sort of was born and began. And, I mean, this all came about too as well from a desire or a want from the community too as well to, you know, have that water tower makeover happen.
Because it was just old. Yeah.
The last touch-up had happened in 2015.
And that was a touch-up of a little area.
It was.
I noticed that at that time there was some tagging and the decision was made to get an artist to blend in some colour and go over it. But someone maybe at council decided after that when there was some tagging just to blank grey paint over it.
Yeah, because it just wasn't the graffiti was quite bad. It was, yeah. So Tracy Breshout was the local artist that was engaged to sort of like do a makeover on that graffiti tagging that did happen. And the RCAC, the Raglan Community, more acronyms, the Raglan, yes. Raglan Community Arts Council, at the time in 2015, they did a call out to the community for some funding, and so funding was received, and there was some paint that was donated from Murdo Shaw
local painter.
Yep, and from Wattle it was.
Oh, because he was working for Wattle at that point.
Yes, so he provided the paint, and Tracy got to work and sort of like covered as much of the graffiti, you know, and touched over the makeup. Like the fish, you'll notice the musical fish that was up there. The original design was sort of like rainbow colour. Well, it had rainbow colours, from the original photo. But then it was just too hard to sort of like blend, find those colours and match them from over the years, because that mural was originally done in late 1980s by Maurizio Sarzini, who was an Italian architect that was living in Raglan at the time.
Wow.
Yeah, so he designed that original mural.
So before that, was it a big grey lump?
It was white.
It was white.
It was a white canvas. It was. There's a photo actually from that we've sourced from Carolina and Javier, actually, and they've got a drone footage of, wouldn't have been a drone back in the time in 1980s. It's a plane. You can see the shadow of the plane on the photo of it in 1981. And so that was one of the earlier photos. And then it was in the late 1980s, 1988, Maurizio Sarzini, who was an Italian architect that was living in Raglan at the time, he actually took on the project of – he self-funded it himself.
Wow.
And completely did it himself. And, yeah.
And was that exactly what was there till this year, or has that had any changes?
So that was in 1988. Maurizio did the original design. And then in 1999 – the mural was needed, a makeup was looking tired, and paint had faded. And so the RCAC, the Raglan Community, it was the Raglan Community Board in 1999, the community again wanted to see a refresh before the millennium, the year 2000.
Yeah.
And so three local artists were engaged. It was Nick Bukowski, Peter Matira, and Christian Higgins.
Okay.
To do a makeover, refresh it. And so, which they did. And then other artists, local artists also, were brought into the process. And
so it was quite a collaborative thing.
Yes, over the time, to sort of get that over the line before the millennium happened. And then, and then you'll see new elements that were added into it, like Nick Bukowski, he added the family dog, Tessa, into the picture as well.
There was quite, there were lots of little stories within that one, weren't there? Mm. Like, if you knew what bits were about.
Mm.
Yeah,
there
if
is.
If you knew, you knew, I guess, but there was a lot there.
Yeah. And part of this project too as well has been capturing those stories and finding out more about that information. So, the project hasn't always just been about just the mural. It's actually about that water tower as a destination point and highlighting the significance and the importance of water and how precious it is.
Can I just ask, have we got photos of the original design? So you got a photo of when it was white. Have we got one of
We've been in touch with Maurizio, who's now living back in Italy, and there is photos. There's local community members that have got photos there, but they're stacked on the old
hard drives.
No, not hard film. Drives. Yeah.
It's just the film.
The strips.
Oh.
Negatives.
So they've got to dig them out.
Yeah, so we're in the process of digging them out.
We don't have many photos. We have almost no photos of this radio station, before I started this job, except for that one behind me, which is the first day.
Yeah.
And there must be photos around town and people's attics, and I would love to get hold of them.
Yeah.
And this is the same
totally,
sort of thing.
Totally, it totally is. And that's what's being uncovered as we've sort of like gone through this process. And so part of the project is also there'll be signage up there at the water tower, which sort of talks about the whenua, the land, the water tower, the source of the water, where it comes from, which is from Ariki Spring up onto Hutawai Road. Facts about the water tower as well, like how much water it holds. The water quality was rated one of the best tasting water in 2018.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. and how much, you know, it serves how many towns, it's residents it services. So, and then also, of course, about the history of the mural over the years, which we sort of just touched on briefly, and then, of course, of the new mural makeover too as well.
All right, let's go back to there was a process, like you found people to be on the panel to make the decision. So tell us a little bit about that, because we've got a lot of time.
So the funding was secured, and then from there it was sort of like we could press the button on looking for a panel that would a selection panel for having, you know, the massive hard job of choosing an artist. And so representatives from Hapu Iwi, youth rangatahi were involved, artists, and also community members that have been involved in the history of the water tower over the years too as well. So the DMO wanted to keep the panel quite small, so it was a number of six.
Yeah.
It could easily have been a wider panel.
When you listed all I thought it was going to be bigger.
Yeah, so it was really important to get significant key community members to represent the diversity of, you know, Raglan community and the artist selection process. So my role was just to facilitate that and provide support to that panel. And we also had an independent advisor as well who helped with the process was done as a tender process. So we did a call for artists, and the call went locally here in Whangaroa, but it also went right across the New Zealand.
Yeah.
So we had support from Boone Art, the team there at Boone Art in Hamilton with their socials, and here in the community we was advertising the Raglan Chronicle, and different networks. So there was a lot of activity about it too as well, and interest, and the idea with an expression of interest was to anyone that was interested in putting together a mural up there could submit their expression of interest, EOI we were calling it, and that provided background information of like what their experience was on large scale murals.
Did they have to have the design up front?
No. There was no information given about. We'd also done a community survey out to the community to see what themes people wanted for the new mural.
Yeah.
And if also before even this project started, even if they wanted a new mural, and of course 67% came back and said yes, they wanted a new mural. Mm. 27% said no, just touch up the current mural, and I think it was about 7% said no, just leave it as it is. But because it's such a significant focal point as you come into and leave Raglan, it's pretty cool that it needed to be done.
Yeah. And when you saw the design, did you say we want this bit facing the road that people can see when they come in?
No,
was there discussion about that?
Or
was that CEO who had just figured that himself?
Yeah, so going back to the EOI process, expressions of interest came in. There were 17 expressions of interest that came in, and we had two from overseas.
Yeah, wow, okay.
Yeah, it was three from Raglan, two from Raglan, and the rest from across as far as Whangarei right down to Invercargill. And so from those 17 artists, it was shortlisted down to five artists, and those five artists were provided some funding, some money, to provide a more detailed design concept.
Oh, okay, so they didn't have to do it for free?
No, because that involved quite a lot of significant amount of their time to provide that detail based on those themes that the community wanted to see, which was around te ao Māori, ocean, obviously, water, community and landscape.
Mm.
And so they were given those five artists were given those themes, and then they were left pretty much on their own. And they had to, part of the process wasn't that the evaluation process, the tender process, wasn't just about the design. It also, they also needed to include their methodology and their process of how they were going to do it. Like, some artists were able to complete it in 2 weeks compared to some were taking longer. Health and safety, because the water tower is actually owned by the Waikato District Council, it's a functioning reservoir.
So, yeah, health and safety is all over it.
Health and safety, massive. Unlike back in the 80s and the 90s when there was no health and safety.
You just took your ladder along.
Yeah,
I can imagine.
Pretty much, yeah. It was, free range it. So, yeah, there was really strict health and safety requirements. There was, environmental. We wanted to make sure that there was consideration taken about, the care of that water tower and the process of the paint that they were going to be using.
Did they give you a budget, or did you give them a budget?
No, they had. It was a tender process, okay, so they submitted their costs. So
hard to ignore a cheap bid when it's art. So
But it was, so that's why it was. We had an independent advisor that supported and developed a tool to help the panel with that weighting.
Yeah.
So there was 30% on the design. It was, I think, it was 20%. I'll have to look back on my notes.
That's right. It was done. Yeah.
It was very, very thorough process. And from those five artists and their designs, there was also Q&A presentations given by each of the artists, an opportunity to talk more about their designs and what it meant to them. And then the final artist was chosen from that process.
And I remember, I think it was you, was at a community board meeting telling the community board that, because people are concerned about it, the new one being graffitied, and that you'd attempted to have a lot of input from the young people in our community. Can you tell us about, do you remember, was that even you?
Yes, that would have been me, because I've been at the community board.
I'm trying to remember.
Yeah, so graffiti, we're hoping that, when you look at it, it's a stunning piece of artwork, it really is. So most of the artists that we've spoken to, mural artists, you'll find that most graffiti tagging doesn't really happen in the early stages, because there is kind of, I think, some respect
when it gets old and tired looking, maybe when it starts
historically,
to happen?
It's old and tired, and there is a strategic plan involved for graffiti if it does happen. We hope it doesn't, but
I noticed someone, when it was painted white, someone immediately tagged it. But that's a big white wall is like asking for it, isn't
totally,
it?
Totally, yeah.
Yeah, in this day and age. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so that's all right. So that's a little bit of the story behind it. But Theo was chosen as the man to do the job, and he's just doing the finishing touches now.
Yes.
As we speak.
Yeah.
What did people like about it? What did the panel like about it? I guess they like the design.
As I said, it was, I think it was 30% was the weighting, so it was all the other elements too as well that were important. But obviously the design was key as well. He just really, the panel, I think, just really were impressed at how he captured and nailed the brief that he had and incorporated all the key elements and that are important to Raglan. And
has he done this sort of thing before? Has he done big murals?
Yes, he has. So, Theo was planning to be here with this interview as well, alongside with me.
We're going
to
get him in one day, real soon.
So then when you get a chance to catch up with Theo.
Yeah, we can ask him about that.
Talk about his. But, part of the process was also, each artist had to provide three referees and also where they had done previous murals of this sort of scale, because we wanted to make sure that whichever artist was chosen was capable, had the capacity, and was capable of delivering.
Because it's a big wall,
it's massive, and had that experience of working on large scale murals, especially working on elevated work platforms with weather conditions that you're having to work with as well.
Mm, mm.
And you've got to have some experience. You can't just
Yeah, it's all
you can't just wing it. You can't wing it with something like that.
Yeah.
Hey, well, look, we're completely out of time. Folks, I've been talking to Jacqueline, who has been the project manager for this, and you can hear all the how thorough it was to make sure we got the right thing.
And our opening...
The opening is tomorrow.
Yeah, the blessing karakia is tomorrow at 11:30. All of the community, everyone is welcome. There'll be a barbecue. The DMO will be up there.
Lisa says sausages. She's running the barbecue.
Yeah, sausages and this, and we're thanks to the generous support from Satnam of Raglan Four Square. He's provided all the kai and the refreshments for us.
Okay.
And yeah, we're looking forward to celebrating with Theo, who's really the main star of all of this.
He's been working hard,
yeah. Especially in these really, the last week, these really, really hot conditions.
Yeah, but also good for, it's nice and dry.
Yes, but, you know, like the paint literally is dry in 5 minutes.
Yeah,
it gets
sticky so quickly. Yeah. I've painted in summer, not anything beautiful like that, but I know what happens to the paint. Yeah.
Well, this hot weather is really expected more for like January, February weather, so... anyway, not that I'm complaining. That's
but the
lovely.
Timing's good because these beautiful clear days are kind of stopping today.
Yeah.
So for the next little while. So it's just worked out perfectly, I think. Mm. Yeah. Mm. Hey, Jacqueline, thank you for coming in.
Thank you. Look forward
to tomorrow.
Yes. Awesome. Okay. See you there.
And, of course, tomorrow was Friday, so today is Tuesday. And hopefully next Tuesday, I've been talking to Raglan, might be part of the parade, but we'll see whether that's possible. So if you have been, thanks for listening to Raglan Talking to Raglan. Plan to be back one way or another next Tuesday. So I hope you managed to join me then, 6-ish till 7:30-ish, it now being 26 and a half minutes past 7. And let's see if we can get the music going early. What have we got? We've got Sojourn. Yes, so Sojourn's the band which is playing... as I mentioned earlier, they're going to be along at the yard on, trying to work out when it was. Got it in front of me, but I can't actually see it for reasons that I don't understand. Should learn how to use a computer. I might do rather better. Saturday evening, so Jen, 8 o'clock, at the yard. So anyway, here is effectively a preview, so Jen, play it cool.
It's messing with my heart. What am I supposed to do?